wedding in June of 1921. Florence adored her position as the lady of the manor and took her duties as a wife quite seriously. Taking a deep breath, she suddenly felt chilled, and the air around her had become icy, unlike anything she'd ever known. It was so cold, and as she exhaled, she saw wafts of air come from her mouth. Again, she felt frightened and desperately wished that Theodore would finish up with whatever was taking him so long and come upstairs. She peered down the stairs in search of him, but the scene before her was not what she expected to see. The staircase, which should have displayed a brilliant polish on the gleaming oak surface, seemed aged and in need of repair, dilapidated. The rich tapestries that had been hanging on the walls were no longer there. The sconces, lit when she'd come upstairs, were not only snuffed out, but were no longer even visible. Florence moved her hand toward her chest. It felt strange. She looked at her hand as she placed it across her heart and saw it as an eerie luminescence, more like a misty fog than her own flesh-colored appendage. As she pushed her hand harder against her chest, waiting to feel the reassuring beat of her heart, she became still when she felt absolutely nothing other than her hand slowly gliding through her dress and right through her flesh. Dear Lord, she must be dreaming. Taking a deep breath, she was sure this must be a result of her condition. She was having a nightmare and would wake up in the morning, at which time she would tell Theodore all about this, and the two of them would have a good laugh discussing the utter silliness of her dream. But no, this was different. She felt as though she was wide awake. "Theo!" she called out. Again she felt cold, and again she saw wisps of a white, smoke-like substance coming from her mouth. "Theo, please, where are you? I am quite frightened." Suddenly, another frigid blast of cold air swirled around her. She observed the phenomenon as though in shock. The cold gust swirled around her, then stopped as quickly as it started. "Theodore?" And, suddenly, Theodore was there, right in front of her. Then a cruel, cackling laughter emanated from the man. But it wasn't her Theo standing there. He wasn't the man with whom she had dined earlier. No, this was some evil form of Theo. His finely tailored clothes hung in shreds, and his eyes glowed as though a candle were lit behind them. "If this is a dream, please wake up," she said aloud. "I don't like this." She reached out for the image of Theo before her. Her hands went right through him. She yanked them away, so frightened now that she backed away from the evil image and tried grabbing the banister for support. As she tried to steady herself again, her hand seemed to melt right through the wood. And before she knew what was happening, she felt a heavy hand at the small of her back. A hand with great power. Theodore's hand? Except it wasn't as comforting as she remembered. No, this was forceful. Before she could turn around and ask him to please remove his hand, she felt him shove her forward toward the staircase. "Theodore!" Those were the last words Florence Dabney uttered before everything went totally blank. Chapter 1. Sophie jerked upright in bed, stunned. Her heart drummed against her chest, sweat dampened her forehead, and the back of her neck was slick with perspiration. Unsure whether she had just experienced a vision by way of a dream, she reached for the lamp on the bedside table. Turning it on, she could see that she was safe in the master bedroom, with Goebel snoring contentedly beside her. They'd celebrated their first wedding anniversary that evening. Poor Goebel. He rarely drank and had imbibed one too many celebratory glasses of champagne. Not wanting to wake him, she grabbed her robe from the bedpost and tiptoed out of the room, not bothering to turn out the light. She knew that Goebel wouldn't hear her. His soft snores were comforting as Sophie crept out of their room and headed downstairs. She didn't even want to begin to analyze her dream, or rather her vision, until she'd had a cigarette. As usual, Goebel had been after her to quit, and as usual, she said she would think about it. Downstairs,